In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
Hello again. It'd be great if you keep your Bibles open. And if you haven't got a Bible open, there's one sitting in front of you in the pews. You can grab that. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 1 tonight. And we begin in a series that's going to look at Acts 1 all the way through to Acts chapter 9, which is great because we get to take our time a little bit in this. Sometimes you cover the whole book of Acts in a term, but we want to take our time. So we get to do that over the next few weeks. How about I pray before we get stuck in? Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the King, that he demonstrated that through his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. But though he's left, his mission continues because he has sent out his people all throughout the world, the place where his mission is going out, and he's empowered them by the Holy Spirit, and we thank you so much that we can be those people who join in that mission. Please, Lord, help us to be, in a way, recommissioned tonight, I guess revitalized, inspired to be those very people. May your word speak truth to us, and may we hear it and be changed. And we pray this through the powerful name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The last few weeks, really, and into this month, there has been a mission that everyone seems to have bought into. It's a mission to save the universe. And yeah, I reckon it's going to continue through the month of May as well, because this mission pulls a team together, a people together, all nations unite to avenge. People have bought into this mission so much. So much so that, did you know, in less than 2 weeks, Avengers Endgame has taken almost $2 billion worldwide. It's insane. It's going to crack Avatar for sure. And we thought the $1 billion that was earned to rebuild Notre Dame was a lot. A movie has made $2 billion worldwide. It's just a movie. And yet this mission has captivated so many people. That everybody seems to know about it and has bought into this thing. But I have to say, it's nothing compared to the much, much greater mission that we're going to talk about tonight. the greatest mission that has ever been launched is far, far greater than the mission the Avengers went on and as they headed off to do whatever it is they've done. I've not seen it yet. No spoilers, please. You see, we get to join in the greatest mission of all time. And over the next few weeks, as we journey through Acts, we journey through the beginnings of this continuing mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what Acts 1 to 9 is going to be. The beginnings of Jesus' continuing mission. I say beginnings because it's still going, guys. And I say beginnings too because, well, verse 1 shows us that this is actually kind of the second volume, so it continues in this Luke-Acts drama. Acts is the second volume because what did verse 1 say? It said, in my former book, Theophilus, and now Theophilus isn't the title of the book, he's addressing it to this dude. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, what he began to do, and now I'm going to continue to tell you what he did. Now, what was the former book? That was Luke's gospel. And if you haven't already been with us the last 3 weeks, the stuff we looked at the last 3 weeks is foundational for what we're going to continue on in Acts, because Luke wrote that stuff so that you knew it coming into this book. In fact, he sort of references or refers to it in the first sort of 2-3 verses there, particularly verse 3, when he talks about after his suffering. But what he's going to do here is continue to write about, or now actually to begin to write about, the beginnings of Christianity, set within the bigger story, the wonderful story of the gospel. Why? To help people like Theophilus. Well, specifically Theophilus, it would seem. And who is this Theophilus dude guy? Well, Theophilus, Theo meaning God, Philos meaning beloved, that kind of means he's saying dear to God or loved by God or God's beloved. And it made people think that maybe this is just a general fella that he's writing to, just as in a title. Like you could give me the name Angelo Philos. Yeah, it doesn't quite work. Loved by Ange. You'd understand that if you're a regular. But he is most likely an early believer. So here is Luke writing to an early believer, maybe a Roman governor, someone who needed assurance in his faith, someone who needed to know these things about Jesus, needed to see that Jesus' mission was continuing on, because he wrote the first one to this guy as well. Luke wrote to give certainty. And he writes, and the way he writes will mean that people are propelled out. They are unleashed into this world. Volume 2 really should give any Christian, anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, a push. As we read this story, as we read the beginnings of the church, it is inspiring. If you care at all about what Jesus is doing, it's inspiring because we see the Holy Spirit come. Thousands come to faith. People are healed of sickness. Miracles are happening everywhere. And these 11 dudes is all it starts with. The church powerfully at work, practicing brilliantly. I mean, if you were to jump onto their website in Acts and see their blurb, my goodness, some of these church blurbs would have been insane. The stuff that's going on is crazy in this book. Through hardship and persecution, the kingdom continues to spread. Even a fella standing by as Christians are stoned. That's beat with stones, not the other one. A guy who breathed out murderous threats against Christians, he becomes one. It's almost as though Jesus is continuing his work through his people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Almost. In fact, no, that's exactly what is happening in the book of Acts. And man, do we need to rebreathe this book deeply. Like John Calvin was famous for saying, Christian, live in it. I think we need that. We need to return to this, not so that we can go back to what they did, but so that we can continue on with what they were doing. You see, today sets it all up. As we launch our May Mission Month, it is timely and fitting as well, but it should launch us into a month and a lifetime of mission. And so let me take us through Acts chapter 1, where Jesus commissions his disciples. Just before he ascends, he wants to prepare them to send them out. Before he goes, he wants to make sure they are ready to continue his mission, doesn't he? And why is this important for us? Well, we continue this same mission today, don't we? May Mission Month is a great reminder for us. And yes, it's a commission to support the work of the kingdom, but it's also a call for us to join in that. And we can easily misunderstand the mission. The disciples seem to. And so tonight, that's how we're going to approach it. We're going to look at the misunderstanding that they had, verse 6, and then look at the mission that Jesus redirects them with, looking at the idea that there is a king, there is the people, there is the place, and there is the power. And so let me just take us back and see where he sets this all up. Because Jesus has been with them for 40 days, teaching them, revealing things to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 3, we get an insight into what it is that he's really keen on telling them about. What was it he was speaking about? Have a look at the end of verse 3. It says, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Right there, that's what it is. He's keen on the kingdom of God. Now he's going to go on and promise them the Holy Spirit that he's coming, that he's going to come and they're going to wait for him. We'll deal with that next week. Now he's preparing them for this mission. Now let me just give you the picture again. What's going on here? We've got 11 pretty underwhelming, pathetic individuals standing on a mountain, and then the 12th is incredible. That's Jesus. These 11 fellas had sort of hoped and longed for the kingdom to come. They thought Jesus was their king and the Messiah that was going to do it all for them. Now, what they thought the kingdom was all about means that their question that I'm about to show to you in verse 6 isn't that unusual. It's not completely wrong, but it's not the mission. It's a misunderstanding. Their question reveals a misunderstanding. Let me read it to you. Verse 6. So when they met together, this is the disciples, remember he's talking about the kingdom, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, remember what it is that these men had hoped for. And if you were with us a couple of weeks ago, we saw these two fellas walking along the road to Emmaus, dragging their feet because they thought that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped he would redeem Israel, and then he dies. And so before the resurrection, all their hopes are dead, but then he's back. So baby, it's back on. Like, we are ready to go, aren't we? King, you're here. But they reveal their misunderstanding by their words and by their actions. The question actually reveals their misunderstanding. Because what do they ask? Have a look. They asked this idea of restored. Will it be restored? The idea of restored was this idea that the political and territorial kingdom would be fashioned again. And then Israel, when they say Israel, they have national kingdom ideas coming in there. And then at this time, that's immediate. They're expecting it to happen right there, right then. And their actions show that. Because have a look what they do as Jesus is ascending in verses 10 and 11. What do they do? They were looking intently, verse 10, up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white, angels, stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Do you know why? They're kind of expecting it all to happen right there and then. So they get this little bit of a hurry on, and they're told, off you go. Now, we're not standing with Jesus on the Mount of Olives right now. It's obvious, yeah? You're sitting in olive pews. But if we are to join the mission, as we're meant to if you're a Christian, we need to have the right idea of what the mission is all about. We need to join King Jesus in his continuing mission. And yet it is easy to get the wrong idea about what the mission is. Not completely wrong, maybe, but to have a misunderstanding about Jesus and his mission, or just to forget it, to slowly go through this life of the Christian thing and just forget there is a mission. It's easy to fall into the trap of looking, or just looking at Israel, maybe our time, our place, to our kingdom rather than God's kingdom, to our mission rather than the mission Jesus is calling us to, the greatest mission of all time. And we'd love him to do the things that we want in our timing rather than his too, wouldn't we? Now, this can be subtle. It works its way in so easily. But we'd love to see Israel restored, well, my Israel at least, in my individualistic world, to the point that Jesus starts to fit into our mission. And so the place that Jesus fits is really about our own desires. And in an instantaneous society like ours, I still haven't got internet if you're wondering, it's driving me insane. But in an instantaneous society where we want everything now, how much more do we want this kingdom to come in our ways now? To approach the kingdom with our expectations, with our timings. Tonight will be a reminder, maybe a redirection for you. It should be, I hope, like a recommissioning for all of us. The whole book of Acts, this series, I'm hoping does that. Today, even, yeah, I'm going to say, let's try and make $60,000 in the next 4 weeks. If Avengers can get $2 billion in two, surely $60,000 in 4 weeks is easy, yeah? We're on? We got this? But that should be an expression of us joining in the mission. And this should remind us that we are all part of this mission. Not just paying for it, but we are joining in the mission of the kingdom of God. And so let's take a look at that mission. Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom. They showed a misunderstanding and he responds and he redirects them. Have a look in verses 7 to 9. This is a redirection from Jesus. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." A king, firstly. Let's look at the king here. When you think about a kingdom, what do you like? You think a king. You need a king. You need a king to sit on the throne, to wear the crown, but more importantly, to direct what this kingdom's all about, the mission that this kingdom should be on. Who's the king here? Well, Jesus says it. He says, "You will be my witnesses. This is about me and mine." Now, in a moment, well, we looked at it last week. Yep. He ascends. The disciples watch Jesus ascend in a way that shows that he is Lord. He is king. And it may seem basic because if you're a Christian, you hear this all the time. But the mission is about this king, my witnesses. And we need to hear that. The mission is about Jesus being made known as king. Now, this king isn't the king that comes in tyranny. No, he comes, and we see this from the gospel, he brings peace and reconciliation to all things. Just go back to the last 3 weeks and see how the gospel plays out. He's here to bring the reign of Jesus himself, and perfection will come as a result of that. Guys, the dream is real when it is realized in Jesus, but it is only found in Jesus. And sadly, people want the kingdom, all that he offers, without the king. They want what Jesus offers without acknowledging that he is Lord, that he is the one that should be served. And it's too easy, again, to do. To dream of the wonderful utopia of a world made perfect. I mean, who doesn't want that? You want that, don't you? You want a perfect world to dwell in? To dream and devise plans to ensure that we can have that. And we work our collective muscle and our mind to bring about moral and social reform in this world. And I say sadly because that isn't possible if the mission is attached from the king. Jesus is the king. And he says the mission isn't primarily about moral reform. The mission isn't primarily about social reform. The mission isn't about tradition and making everybody function in the way in life of the church as you've seen it, but it is about the king. Telling people about the crucified, risen King Jesus. Yeah, and when we look at him and we see that he is reigning, absolutely he will show us some stuff. And as we rebreathe and relive this book of Acts, we will see it. He shows us what it means to live. He shows us what it means to love. He shows us what it means to be human. So as we join in this mission and the Holy Spirit comes powerfully, this king is going to bring moral and social transformation. Some of your lives are stories of that, aren't they? And one day, it'll all be perfected. My witnesses. We witness to the fact that Jesus is the king. My witnesses, but where is this king? You sometimes ask. Because he did leave, and he's left. Is it a kingdom without the king? It can seem like that at times, because he seems to be missing from the mission, which is why the witnesses are going to be so important in just a moment. And yet he's not gone and just left us. He sends his Holy Spirit, and he is returning. Have a look at verse 11 again. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Same Jesus in the same way. What is that way? Matthew 24 tells us. On the clouds of the sky, what? With power and great glory. The king is coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4, if you remember, describes this too, of this kingly procession where Jesus is returning with all power and might and glory. Revelation 1:7 tells us every eye is going to see it. You're not going to miss this fact. And Philippians 2 has this wonderful reality with a slightly cutting edge. It says, every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I could just say Jesus Christ is King. Willingly or unwillingly, all will know this and all will bow to this King. Guys, people need to know this, don't they? That's the mission. The mission is about Jesus being made known as King and his wonderful rule of peace and reconciliation being offered to those who desperately need it. Times and dates are not for us, but the mission of the kingdom most certainly is, making known that Jesus is King. And how do we do it? Well, his people witness to his gospel. So that's the second thing. We have the people. And the people are to witness. It clearly says that, doesn't it? You are to be my witnesses. Now, what is a witness? The witness that they're thinking of here is the idea of having seen something, and you can become an eyewitness in that. I saw something incredible this week. On Tuesday, Ange Gretsounis wore shorts. Now, you need an eyewitness account to testify to that because most people wouldn't believe that. I mentioned that at the 11 a.m. service today, and some of them questioned whether he even had legs. And so for those who knew, Ange is our senior pastor, and most people only ever seen him in pants. It'd kind of be like me getting up here and starting to preach in undies, having seen him in shorts. And it was incredible, not the legs, but the fact that he was in shorts. And I'm so thankful that there are other people to testify to this because they saw it too. That's being an eyewitness. The disciples were eyewitnesses, and it was important that they were. Luke emphasizes it. Have a look, verse 3, the proofs that he was alive, he showed himself, they saw it. Verse 9, before their very eyes, and as they looked intently. Verse 10, they were looking. Luke is making sure we know that they saw this. And when they choose Matthias, shout out to Talitha Matthias, as the extra disciple, not the extra, but the replacement to Judas, because he went and did his Judas thing. In verse 22 of this chapter, why do they choose him? Well, what's one of the requirements? That he had been with them the whole time the Lord was with them. Why? Because he needed to see it all, to be able to witness it all. That Jesus had said all this stuff and done all this stuff, that they know that he is a king. But they were also meant to witness, as in, you will be my witness, to testify, to tell others of this. It's like Jesus is saying, if you've seen this, well, tell everyone you've seen it. Tell everyone this incredible news. They have to know. Ange wore shorts. No. Jesus is king. He is Lord. And we too are witnesses. Not seeing in the same way, but telling. You see, we see through the wonderful witness that these guys have given us, that we know for a fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you have heard their witness, and if you believe it, if you claim to be a Christian, if you know that Jesus is king, that is incredible news, is it not? And when we have good news, what do we do with it? Like when we witness something incredible, we do tell it. Like engagements and births and big moments in our lives. We long to share that stuff. We brag about our favourite sporting teams doing it. Leicester's going to beat City this week. Liverpool's going to win the Premier League. Rave about a new restaurant that finally serves good coffee. How good is that? That little cafe. The latest diet or health craze you're on, just stay here for 2 months. I'll tell you about my next one. What's going on with our families, our kids and grandkids, our achievements? We passionately debate political issues or which Netflix series or movie or show it is. Whatever it is, we love to talk about this stuff that we feel is good news. And so our lives and our words become a witness to what is worth praising, don't they? What is worth witnessing to. Our lives become a witness. You know what Jesus says? You will be my witnesses. That's the call, Christian. The people of the kingdom, that's you and me if you know and love Jesus, are about their king and his mission. And there is a particular message, right? The message that we've unpacked the last few weeks having come out of Easter. It's what we call the gospel. That Jesus died, was buried, he rose, he defeated sin and death, and he's taken our sin, and now we can reign victorious with him. Like, you keep journeying in Acts, they're going to tell that message, but they're going to do it in different ways. Like, watch this pathetic 11 bunch witness. Like, read it, hear it, notice what they do, because they tell the gospel in ways that the people will understand. Like, you go to Jerusalem with them, where it's like particularly Jewish, they use the Old Testament story and they quote scripture. Peter will quote it constantly and point to the fact, hey, here is your king, this is your king. But then when you journey with Paul to Athens and he's there with the Greeks, and because the Greeks think they know it all, they've got all this philosophical understanding that they muse about, and these gods of all different types, even one that can't be named because they just want to make sure they're covering all their bases. And he approaches it through that avenue. He still says Jesus is king, but in a different way. They don't change what they are witnessing to, but they do it in a way that ensures the people can understand it. And guys, that's why we want to support the work in Southeast Asia, where David and Carol are educating people, but alongside that, trying to make sure that they can teach the gospel. In Papua New Guinea, the training of Christian leaders and pastors from PNG to witness, to go right throughout the South Pacific and Southeast Asia, sending them out so they can do it with their own people. We want to see the Yao people read the Bible in their own language. It's a blessing that you've got that thing sitting in front of you that you often don't open. Have more and more indigenous leaders preachers and teachers themselves preaching the gospel in their own language, helping others to witness because they know the ways that their people work. They don't change the message, but they do it in a way that the people can understand. And guys, that's the same for us too. Like, we want to proclaim this, don't we? We want to witness to it. And so we need to be thinking about how will our friends understand this message about a dude named Jesus who is the Son of God that died and took the sins of the entire world? Because less and less people, particularly in your generation, because we're the younger crew here than 9/11, less and less are going to just have it as a given. Like, we kind of need to learn from these overseas missionaries and how it is we do it. Like, they are living in these situations in order that they can, sometimes they're just doing regular day-to-day lives, things that you do all the time, so they can share the gospel. We've got to find ways to get into these people's lives, understand their loves, their desires, the very things they form their lives off, and then love them so that they will look at us, so that they will listen to us. The people of the kingdom can then tell them about their king. Yes, with a particular message that says Jesus Christ is king. People need to hear this, don't they? Particularly in places where the gospel isn't or hasn't been yet. Why? That's the mission according to the king. Did you see that? The back end of verse 8, which is kind of like the theme verse for this entire book. He said, where is it? What's the place? In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If you remember back in verse 6, their misunderstanding, what was it? It was that it was more local, it was like political and territorial. And it's kind of like Jesus needs to say to them, this isn't just about Israel, yeah? The disciples need to know that. But you get it, because when you think of kingdom, you often think of my little domain or a map that marks it out. But this isn't a physical, tangible thing. This is a spiritual thing. Not just about one people, but all people. Do you remember when Jesus is chatting to Nicodemus in John's gospel? Jesus showed that dude, who he couldn't fathom how it all worked at that point. Post-resurrection, I think he does. But he showed to Nicodemus what the borders really are. And they're open. He said, for whoever would believe in him would have eternal life, didn't he? What's the place of this mission? Well, it's ever expanding, isn't it? In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so, brothers and sisters, we've got to remember it's not just about Nahui when we do the stuff we do. Like, it's not just about our little patch. In fact, if it was about our small location, we would never have heard it. Because where did the mission start? In Jerusalem, yeah? And we're here down under, mate. That's the ends of the earth. I mean, it's even got to Cronulla. It's incredible, yeah? I know, because there's churches there. And just quickly, we did this at the 9 a.m., and mate, half the room had put their hands up and shouted something out by the end of it. But if you have either come from another country, were born in another country, or your family is from another country to down under Australia, mate, then just shout out where you're from. Maybe put your hand up and I'll point at you, because this morning it was crazy. Now, I know you're a bit nervous about the first one. It's okay. Come on. Anyone? Yeah, you in the green. Italy. US. Shh. Where else? Come on. I know there's more out here. Brazil. Where are the rest of my Brazilians? Out the back. I know we've got Italians and Brazilians. What else we got? France. Oui, oui. Vietnam. Billy the Kid. What else? Yeah. South Africa. We had South Africa this morning. We had Kenya this morning. We had Colombia this morning. We had so much this morning. Now, I'd love to see this congregation change so there's even more. Hey, I see you. Yeah. Egypt. Yes. How fantastic is it that we have all these people from all over the world, that the ends of the earth, man. It's happened. It's come. And then all of a sudden, they're back here in this building. It's crazy. But that's the place. And yet there are still people and places that haven't heard about the king. They haven't even heard. They need to. And I'm so thankful that we have a particular thrust when it comes to our main mission appeal towards unreached people groups, because they need to hear it. And this mission, this vision is big. And May Mission helps us remember that, to join in that. There are still people and places that haven't even had the opportunity to hear about the king. But don't forget your part in this. There are places right here in Sydney, Australia, that are like the ends of the earth. Like, I feel that way when I go to training on a Thursday with some of those boys. Man, ends of the earth. When I walk down to Riverwood Plaza, and then on my day off, I drive to Cronulla. That is like two different worlds. Ends of the earth. Catch up with old friends or family for coffee. Have a coffee in a local cafe and just see the regulars and hear where they're at. They're certainly at the ends of the earth when it comes to their spiritual well-being. The owners, they may not know either. Sitting on a train, think of the hundreds and thousands of people that you share that one carriage with. The ends of the earth. And you've got more places than me. What are they? The king has called the people to this place on an incredible mission. Such a great mission. And so I thank God that he powers this thing. Because it can feel like a massive task, and it can feel like it's so much or too much to ask. But let me return you to the picture that we've got here. There's 11 fellas. 11 fellas started it. Pretty pathetic individuals too. And often our attempts are going to feel pretty pathetic as well. But 11 individuals has meant the whole world has somehow heard the gospel. And today we launch a mission appeal to help reach people in Southeast Asia, Africa, the Middle East, all throughout Australia. $60,000, it is a lot. It is a lot of money. But none of this can or will happen without God's power. The power the king promised, the power that has now come. And so praise God that he promised the Spirit. And praise God that he sent that Spirit. Praise God the Spirit continues his work today. Have a look at verse 8 again. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. The Spirit empowering them just for the task they needed. Like, and you only have to read a little bit further. We will do it next week. 10 days on, the Spirit came at Pentecost. And he came with power and enabled this pretty pathetic bunch to continue the mission that continues today. So he's going to enable this pretty pathetic bunch like you and me to continue the mission again. See, these guys, after Jesus had ascended, they got that little hurry along by those couple of angels, well dressed in white. And you know what they did next? Verse 12, they did return to Jerusalem. And verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. What did they do next? Just as the king commanded. They waited and they prayed. So what do we do next? We ain't got to wait no more. The Holy Spirit has come. But we certainly need to pray if we're going to get this mission rolling. Because the promise has come. And we're going to unpack that more in the coming weeks. But the king has called us to this mission. Now we may not be standing on a mountain, but we still have our page in the story that he is writing in all of history. This was a new beginning to a continuing story. And we stand at a beginning again too, just ours. But we get to continue the story as well. So let's do as the king has commanded us, and let's pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit empowers all of our missionaries. Pray that the Holy Spirit empowers you. Pray that this might be a month where our witness isn't only done by others, those that we support, though we are going to get that 60,000, yeah? But let's also pray that this building is changed as a result of what we're doing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's make this a month, and not just a month, but a lifetime of joining in the mission of the kingdom of God. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? You with me? I hope so. I'm going to pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the incredible mission that you have continued on right throughout the ages. That began in a way at this point, but we know it began long, long ago in your plans and your purposes because you are the King. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King, that he has demonstrated that by his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, and that he gives us this wonderful message to witness to. And so I ask, Lord, that we might be those people who witness to that message no matter where we are, in all the places we go, that the ends of the earth might be reached. And so please, Holy Spirit, come and empower us in such a way that your world is transformed, Lord, that more and more people come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they see that transformation that comes by knowing him. And may all of this happen, that your name receives glory, praise, and honor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.